Good morning, Christ Church family. Welcome to our Father's house. Aren't you excited to be here? Oh, you can do better than that. Aren't you excited to be here? Yeah, you should be. You have done such a fantastic job of discipleship. How does it feel to be the largest Methodist church in the state of Illinois? Yeah. You deserve it because you've been working hard for God. That's a lot of souls that's come into the kingdom, come crying, God, if you use me, I'm willing to be used. Amen. It is exciting for me to be here and to pinch hit for my friend and my brother, Shane and Melissa Bishop, who deserve some time off. Can you say amen for them? All right, let's get right at it. Spirit of living God, fall fresh now on this preacher. Amen. Then Jesus told them plainly that Lazarus is dead. And Thomas said, let us go there also that we may die too. Brothers and sisters, I believe that when a man, when a woman, when a boy, when a girl confesses Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they begin a new process of life. They begin a new life. A new life is just that, new. Old trappings are now a thing of the past, and old issues are a thing of the past. Old ways are a thing of the past, and that sounds great in theory. It sounds good to believe that as soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're hashtag finished with the way you used to be. But, my brothers and sisters, the truth of the matter is that there is an eternal battle that goes on within us when it comes to being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are forces that are within you and within me that really want to do the will of God. There is the Holy Spirit that resides in us that wants to give God the praise in all and every situation, wants to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, want to live peaceably, and then there is another force within us. The Apostle Paul called that force the old person, that once controlled us on the inside, and it seeks now to regain control of who we used to be. And I want to tell you that I've tagged this sermon hashtag finish, because I believe that if you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can be through with the old ways. You can begin a new life. Christ can make all things new. Now, that should have been an amen right there. See, I believe that you and I can live victorious lives if we listen to the voice of God that continues to try to speak to us on a daily basis and not listen to the outward voices or even the inward voice of ourselves on the inside. You and I can live better, do better, serve better, greet better, be better Christians, be better church members if we would allow God's voice to penetrate our mind and our soul. And I want to invite you to consider with me for just a few moments the Lord's will, way, and word. And I'm going to be the first to admit that there are times, my friends, when I'm absolutely baffled with God. Some of God's ways on paper are hard for me to comprehend, hard for me to follow. I'm baffled sometimes in what God does and how God does it and who God does it for, where God does it, and ultimately why God does what God does. I'm baffled, brothers and sisters, that in the midst of a time when everything's crazy in this world, I'm baffled when up is down and down is up. I'm baffled when people who have done better in the Lord, we as a people, should have made more progress toward loving each other and taking this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm baffled when God comes into our life and say, you can praise and worship me. You can give me thanks even in the midst of trouble. I'm baffled when we as a people don't try to do everything we can to live the victorious life that Christ died for us to live. Please follow me just for a few minutes while I reason this out. I'm baffled by some of the decisions that the Lord makes. I'm baffled at how God would take his pride creation, you and me, and decide to multiply the species by the unorthodox method of putting a human being to sleep without the use of anesthesia and opening up the flesh without a scalpel and removing a bone without a bone saw and wrapping the flesh back without sutures and then taking that bone and turning it into a rib and transmorphically turn that bone into a living flesh. I'm baffled at how God can take what Moses, the children of Moses from Israel, and bring them to the Red Sea just to have the sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army behind them, and then blows and the sea begins a highway where it blows back years of silk and mud and water and blows it back so that the children of Israel can cross on dry land. I'm baffled that when the Pharaoh's army entered into that same place, the waters covered back up and even the horses drowned in that water. I'm baffled at how God went into self-separation from humankind for 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and human beings did not hear a word from the Lord. I'm baffled that then 400 years later, he would speak to a 14 to 17-year-old girl named Mary, who apparently had been sent to live with relatives because she's pregnant out of wedlock. And the only excuse she could give is, I'm pregnant by a ghost. Yet, her son Jesus would go on to hang on the cross, buried in a tomb, and early on a Sunday morning would get up with all power in his hands. Friends, I don't know about you, but that baffles me. It defies human logic. I can't trace it on paper. I'm baffled. But this text from John 11 gives me comfort in the midst of my whys and the how comes of my life. This text gives me comfort. And I'm made at ease by just reading it. My mind is not racing now. My heart is not aching. I'm at peace with God. I'm comforted with God. God alone, through this passage, makes me understand that no matter what is happening around us, God is in control. And in this text gives me three reasons to be comforted. First, I'm comforted because the Lord knows what I'm going through. I'm comforted that God knows what's happening in my life. It's interesting that in verse 14, Jesus says, Lazarus is dead. But Jesus is saying this without a conventional means of communication. He has no cell phone. He has no email, no post office box. He has no beeper. He has no IP address. He has no subscription to the State Journal Register or the Belleville News Democrat. Jesus has no subscription to Jerusalem Today. He has no Dish satellite dish. He has no DirecTV satellite dish. Jesus has no shortwave radio, doesn't have an iPad, an iPod, doesn't have Beats internet radio, doesn't have conventional AM or FM radio. Jesus has no carrier service. He has no flat screen TV, no telephone service, no private detective service, yet he understands what Lazarus' state of being is. Jesus has no conventional means of communication, but knows that Lazarus is dead. And even though everyone else in the community of Jerusalem has heard that Lazarus is sick, no one has sounded the alarm that Lazarus is more than just sick. So my question is, for my own comfort, how does Jesus know that Lazarus is not just sick, but dead? Jesus was not there. As a matter of fact, they sent for him, and he hung out for 3 extra days. Didn't get in no hurry to go see about his friend Lazarus at all. Jesus didn't drop what he was doing in the middle of the night and rush off to go check on Lazarus, but he still proclaims Lazarus is dead. And the reason why Jesus knows that Lazarus is dead, because he's omnipotent. It means that Jesus knows everything about everyone and everyone's situation. He was with me. He's always with me. He's always with you. You might not be able to see him in the flesh. They couldn't see him in the flesh with Lazarus, but he knows what Lazarus is going to. Get ready. You may not see him in Lazarus' room, but he's still there with Lazarus and know what Lazarus is going through. You may not see him in your room or in my room, but he still knows what you are going through and what I'm going through. Oh, you missed your praise right there. You're sitting like you missed it. He may not come and everybody in the room say, I see your God. I can see your God on your side, but he is with you. No matter what you're going through, the God that went to the cross for you has never left you, not one second of one day. Somebody ought to say amen. You see, my brothers and sisters, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord, my God, is with me. The Lord is with me. God is Emmanuel. God is with us. The old folks that I grew up used to say, he walks with me and he talks with me and he reminds me that I belong to him. That also means that he's with me. He is with you. He's with me when I'm up. He's with me when I'm down. He's with me when I'm sick. He's with me when I'm well. I mean, I lost somebody on that turn. Let me go back. The reason why that we can't see him is because of the reciprocal nature of our relationship. Let me explain. I'm in him. He's in me. You can't see him because he's internally in me and eternally in you. You can't see him in his presence because I'm covered by his blood. He is well aware what I'm going through. He's well aware what I ate this morning, what time I went to bed last night. He's well aware of the numbers on my head. He knows what really I need to be blessed because he knows me. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what's absolutely best for me. He knew Lazarus was dead, but he also knew that his body was dead. But his soul was alive and soaring with God. At death, there's a separation between the body and soul. The body waits for the general resurrection, but the soul is alive and in the hands of God. Secondly, I'm comforted in knowing that whatever I'm going through, there is a purpose. Whatever happens to you, whatever happens to me in this life, it is a purpose, because all things work together for the good that those who love the Lord. Jesus comforts me again and baffles me, but at the same time, comforts me. Jesus says to his disciples, I'm glad for your sake that I was not there for Lazarus. Wait a minute. Jesus says, I'm glad. I'm happy. I'm not saddened I wasn't there to be with my friend Lazarus. And the reason why I'm glad was not for Lazarus' sake. This is not about Lazarus. It's about a bunch of young apprentice disciples. And maybe I missed something. Let me look at this again. Jesus says, I'm glad that I wasn't there, because if I were there, Lazarus would still be alive. And the reason why he is dead is because I needed to teach you all a lesson. Wait a minute. You lost me. Jesus was saying, I'm so great at what I do. I'm so great and have so much power of God that if I had been there, death would have never been able to touch Lazarus. But I wanted to show you all something that you've never seen before. So I had to let Lazarus die. Not for Mary's sake, not for Martha's sake, but for the sake of men and women that are going to become the pillars of the 21st century church. I had to let Lazarus die. And here's why. So that you might believe. This is Jesus' eighth miracle in the Gospel of John. Did you get that? This is Jesus' eighth miracle in the Gospel of John. After all that he has done in the past, they still don't believe. After he had turned water into wine, they still do not believe. After he healed a nobleman's son, they still did not believe. After he healed a man lame for 38 years, they still did not believe. After he fed 5,000 men, not including women and children, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they still did not believe. After he walked on the water, they still did not believe. After he healed a blind man who was born blind, they still did not believe. And now Jesus says, if you couldn't believe me changing the molecular structure of water, healing a dying boy, reconstructing the bones of a lame man, breaking fish off of fish and bread off of bread, and changed water into a walkway, and after I gave sight to the blind, I tried to show you by using living examples, and now I'm going to Bethany into Lazarus' dead situation so that you might believe. And he used the word might. And that suggests that after all that they saw, and after all that they will see, some of them still will not believe. What's it going to take to get some in our modern world to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Does he have to bring us to the lowest point to get us to believe? Does he have to strip us of our reputation to get us to believe? Does he have to kill our pride completely dead to get us to believe? Does he have to shake up our house to get us to believe? Here's the good news, my brothers and sisters. Jesus could have said, shucks with y'all. I've done everything I could. I'm going to just leave the situation alone. But instead, the Lord uses extraordinary measures to get them to believe. And if he did it for a church of 12, I just believe that he'll do it for the largest church in the state of Illinois. If he did it for 12, I believe that he'll do it for churches all over the world. He'll do it, he'll show up to show us that we must have faith in the power of God. He'll use somebody else's situation and circumstances to activate our faith. He'll use somebody else's battle with cancer to activate our faith. He'll use somebody else's battle with addiction to activate our faith. He'll use somebody else's pain in their marriage to activate our faith. He'll use somebody else's stumbling to activate our faith. Sometimes it's not about using our own situation. Sometimes he'll use somebody else's situation to get us to wake up, to lift up our head and look to the hills which cometh our help, and understand that the power of God is greater than any earthly power that we've ever seen. See, it also helps me to understand, and it comforts me to know that God is using me to help someone else. It comforts me to know that you may see me struggling, but if I keep the faith in God, you may just gain some faith by watching one sinner struggle to maintain his faith. It might activate your faith and believe that if God can do it for me, God can do it with you. First, I'm confident because the Lord knows what I'm going through. Second, I'm confident in knowing that whatever I'm going through, there is a purpose. Finally, I'm confident in the midst of all the world's doubters. Let me run the video back. Mary and Martha have sent word to Jesus that Lazarus is sick. They sent him a message and says, the one that you love, emphasize, the one that you love is sick. The Lord doesn't hurry back to Bethany. He doesn't drop what he's doing to go to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house. Instead, he takes his time. And disciples have already expressed concern that there are people that's waiting to kill him in Jerusalem. The disciples have already been warned, and they are nervous that if they go back to Jerusalem, they're going to die. And so they believe that this word from Mary and Martha is a trap by those in Jerusalem that's laying in wait to kill them and the master. So Jesus says, y'all, in my mind, that's how Jesus talked. Y'all, Lazarus is dead. He ain't sleeping. He ain't sick. He dead. And I allowed him to die. Satan didn't take him. Satan didn't force him. I allowed him to die to teach you a lesson. And as they begin to head toward Bethany to see Jesus wake up Lazarus, Thomas, thinking that we're going to fight, because, you know, Thomas was a warrior. If they kill Lazarus, let's all go to Jerusalem that we might die with him. Have you ever had a Thomas in your life? Here's what's disturbing about Thomas. Thomas was in the same room at the same time hearing Jesus say he's going to do when he get to Bethany. He's going to wake Lazarus from the dead. And instead of focusing on what Jesus says, I'm going to wake Lazarus from the dead. Therefore, I'm giving victory to God, not by the sword, but by the power of God to raise the dead back to life. Thomas says, let's go that we may battle and we may fight and we may die with him. In other words, Thomas believed more in what the streets are saying in Bethany than he does in the word of God. Thomas believed that the streets have said, if y'all come to Bethany, the master will die. And he focuses more on what they say. You know, there's always a they in the church. There's never been any church leadership that somebody didn't come to them and say, you know, it's not me, but they say. Thomas is one of those who still hadn't believed. Thomas is in the circle of the 12. He is first to launch the church, but yet Thomas has one foot in the church and one foot in what he used to be. He's not finished with the person that he was before he met Jesus. He wants to be a new person in Christ, and he wants to maintain the old person too. Don't tune me out yet. Lazarus is dead, and Jesus is going to bring him back to life, but Thomas is more concerned about what he heard from the street, what he heard from his social club, what he heard from the bowling alley, what he heard in the grocery store, than what God is trying to do in and through him. He's stuck in what some folk say. And that's like people who think that the church in the 21st century is not going to survive. They think the church is such a human endeavor and such a political nightmare that the church in the 21st century won't continue to grow and blossom and take this world for Jesus Christ. They don't believe that after all that God has done, that God can take this world and is taking this world and making it new every single day. They say that the church is going to be irrelevant, that God cannot heal the world through the church. But I come to let somebody know that my God is real, and the power of my God is real. You want to know how I know? Because I can feel him deep in my soul. When I feel like quitting, I feel him saying, you can make it. You see, they might call me homeless, but God calls me waiting for a new home. They might call me uneducated, but God calls me blessed and highly favored. They may call me broke, but God calls me making room for my blessing. They may call me crazy to trust God, but God calls me planted by the waters of Babylon. I don't take my orders from what they say because they don't love me like Jesus did. I don't take my spiritual orders from the horoscope because a Gemini didn't die for me. Jesus did. Let me see if I got this straight. On the one hand, I can lose my joy if I listen to him. On the other hand, I can have joy, unspeakable joy, that the world didn't give me and the world can't take away if I just put my hand in the Lord's hand. On the one hand, I can listen to the skeptics or I can trust God. They said that the world was flat. They said that Jews and Samaritans have no dealings. They said that women should be seen and not heard. They said, give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. But the word of God gives me comfort. And if it comes down to me choosing God or what they say, I choose the word of God. The Lord is my shepherd. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. If anyone be in Christ Jesus, the old person is gone, and behold, all things are made new. The Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I be afraid? Is there anybody here that need to tell the Thomases in your life, I'm going to stay in the will and the word of God? Is there anybody here that's willing to hold your Bible, be it electronic or paper, and say, this is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. My heart is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. I will receive the incorruptible, indestructible, everlasting seed of the word of God. I will never, 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 never be the same. I'm hashtag finished with what I used to be. I'm struggling to become what God wants me to be. But thank God, I'm a long way from where I used to be. I have not yet arrived, but I'm hashtag finished with what listening to what they say. I have not reached or obtained the goal that God has for me, but I'm hashtag done what they say, the limitations of my being. And brothers and sisters, as this wonderful praise team comes back, I want you to know that it's not easy being a Christian in the 21st century. If it was easy, anybody could do it. It's difficult, and it's made difficult so that we don't get the idea that we can do it by ourselves. You and I cannot live this Christian life without the power and presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And I want you to know that you can be hashtag finished with the old person if you'll just put your hand in God's hand.